Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This is the broadcast for April 1st in the year of our Lord, 2020. The goal is to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. The blueprint for liberty, the Constitution, is our guide. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. We talked yesterday about a lot of things. Dr. Deborah Brooks cautions Americans to look past media hysteria and lays out the facts about the COVID-19 virus. Donald Trump Jr. says every American needs to hear what she has to say. She rejects the mainstream press narrative. We talked about the former CDC chief says one of the best ways to reduce the effects of the coronavirus is to take vitamin D. Good point. Spot on. We talked about a 101-year-old Italian man who leaves the hospital after beating the coronavirus. Great news. The elderly can beat it, folks. Recovered coronavirus patient. Quote, God breathed into my lungs and healed me. Wow, that's a testimony of faith, isn't it? The UK government asked for 250,000 coronavirus volunteers and got over 400,000. Good people everywhere doing good things, folks. Hour two. We talked about a homeowner leaves care package on the porch for delivery workers during the coronavirus pandemic. That's kind of cool news, too. You know, you go drop off a package and you get a care package yourself. Good people doing good things, folks. You just got to have people tell you about it. That's all. MyPillow CEO, Mike Lindell is his name, goes off script when he's with Donald Trump at the White House for a press briefing. He encourages people to turn to God and read your Bible. Good work, Michael. A landlord tells restaurant tenants to pay workers, not rent, during the coronavirus outbreak. More people doing their part to make a difference. Bureaucrats deny students credit for classwork at home. Millions are keeping up while the coronavirus shuts down schools. That's a tragedy. They're denying credit. They need to make it possible for people to deal with the transition and not have to redo a whole year of school or something. That's ridiculous. NYT, that's the New York Times editors, demand murder. All right, they demand more abortions during the pandemic. They say more death count, please. It's just wow, folks. Government caught giving permission for telemedicine abortions. I guess they quickly dropped the plan when people started to dig in and ask questions. Yale's massively popular happiness courses are free online. That's good news. Tap into a little bit of happiness online while you're on the lockdown, huh? Donald Trump taps talk radio icon Michael Savage for what they call Presidio Post. What is a Presidio Post, Kurt? I still don't even understand what the heck that is.
The Presidio is a big area of land in the San Francisco area that includes a military base and several others. As far as I understand, it's owned by the U.S. government, and then it's overseen by a board of supervisors or whatever, and so he'll be on that. That's the way I understand.
All right, what's he supposed to do on that thing?
Well, give him some counsel. He said that he'll probably...
My counsel would be to give the land back to the state of California where it belongs and get the heck out of there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's probably said that he'd be about the only guy that wasn't a liberal on it, you know, but...
You know, because Donald kept, what, too many holdover liberals on there?
I guess the U.S. National Park, they got it under that. They say for 218 years, the Presidio served as an army post for three nations, world and local events.
Why do we need an army post for three nations? Okay.
Two world fairs and earthquakes left their mark. Says, come enjoy the history and the natural beauty of the Presidio. Explore centuries of architecture, reflect in a national cemetery.
All right, so it's just an unconstitutional land grab by the government. You got a bunch of Obama holdovers by Donald just chilling there, and at least we tap Michael Savage, I guess, right? I Uh-oh, we're getting silent.
Well, that sounds about right.
All right. Well, hopefully Michael can make a difference there.
I was trying to.
Well, I would say hopefully Michael can make a difference there. You know, we got a bunch of liberals and a bunch of, in my opinion, historical problems with this, but maybe Michael can shed a lot of light on the truth there, like I'm trying to do.
That's what I was hoping for.
All right. Well, maybe, you know, letting us know what you're hoping for would be good. That's what I'm hoping for out of it, by the way. I'm hoping Michael can make a tremendous difference and highlight the problems. You know, he doesn't have to be a jerk or get all belligerent or crazy with these liberals, but hopefully he can influence them and explain kind of the historical intention of the founding fathers in light of this situation, and that would be good. And at least Donald put somebody, in my opinion, somewhat decent there. Michael Savage certainly won't back down from a political discussion, and he certainly won't hesitate to articulate his beliefs, so I think that's a good start. Maybe Michael can encourage Donald Trump to put a second good guy there and a third good guy, and before you know it, wow, we could turn that thing around, right? That's what I'd hope for as well. Six Christian organizations are in the mix. This is a political battle like you've never seen before, Kurt.
Well, and this kind of thing really scares some people, but this is from the ChristianHeadlines.com, folks. And so, you know, of course, they're going to celebrate it, but there's, you know, say you're an average New Yorker and you're a big fan of the LGBT crowd or whatever, then you're thinking, hey, man, we're being invaded by the evil Christians, you know. And so, I mean, that's not the way I see it.
Well, let's talk about it. So six Christian organizations offering relief during the coronavirus, what they call a pandemic. I hardly believe it's a pandemic. Nevertheless, let's talk about it. What six organizations are involved in?
Well, you've got, for example, you know, I'm looking through the story. Convoy of Hope is one of them. Now, I'm not very familiar with it, but Hal Donaldson's the president of Convoy of Hope, and he reported that they sent 60 truckloads of food and supplies to families in need over the last week. They also recently announced a national program to provide 10 million meals to serve families who are suffering because of the coronavirus and the economic shutdown it's caused. You know, so that's, I mean, that's one of them. You've got Lutheran World Relief. You know, I guess they call them LWR. It's another one I'm not very familiar with. But
and I'm not really either. And the reason that I want you to cover these organizations, Kurt, is because I like to hear about them. Then when I hear about them later, it's like, oh, yeah, I'm familiar with these guys. So that's the reason that I want to cover it is I just, you know, as I kind of watch around for these philanthropic groups or these nonprofit organizations or these relief groups or these humanitarian groups, I like to learn who they are. I've really gained a tremendous respect for the Catholics in the schools that they do and in the private sector humanitarian efforts that they perform. And I've heard about a lot of what Samaritan's Purse does and some of these organizations. And so the reason that I'm asking you to give us these names and a little bit about them, even though we've never heard of them before, is because it kind of over time develops this familiarity. And I really like that because then I can help promote them a little bit more and support what they're doing a little bit more. And anyway, I kind of like to learn about all the efforts that people are partnering on and doing. And, you know, I've heard about Samaritan's Purse for quite a while. And so I like to hear about these organizations and just generally gain a familiarity with them, and I like to applaud them. And then when I watch for news stories and stuff like that and I see their names, all of a sudden my, you know, my interest peaks. I'm like, oh, really? These guys are involved. Let me learn more about this or whatever. So that's kind of the reason that I ask you to do that, because I believe it really helps us learn who's doing what, and then we gain trust for these organizations over time and appreciation for their work. So anyway, that's my reasoning. Go ahead, sir.
Very good. Number three is the North American Mission Board, and they say it's an entity of the Southern Baptist Convention. They focus on compassion ministry and church planting in North America. According to the organization's website, last week the NAMB, or the North American Mission Board, donated more than 200,000 pieces of personal protection equipment, or they call them PPEs, to hospitals and healthcare workers through two different programs. You know, so that's, I mean, a little bit on that one.
Yeah, so you learn that the Baptists are involved, and you learn about these different groups. That's because I didn't really know the Baptists had an organization like that, Kurt. A lot of times I hear about a lot of these organizations helping overseas or helping other nations, and that's great, but it's nice to see they have the ability to reach out and be involved humanitarian-wise right here in America, too. That's great news in my mind.
Good point, Sam. So number four, they call it Operation Blessing. They say they work to being God's hands and feet in the world. They provide strategic relief to hurting communities in North America and around the world through disaster relief. They recently delivered medical supplies to hospitals in Manila, Philippines. They brought personal protective equipment, including shoe coverings, gowns, masks, and gloves, as well as medical alcohol and soap. A local pastor also joins them at each distribution spot, prays for the workers and for
who
the
joins
COVID-19
them
again? A local pastor.
I see. Okay. So they have people on the ground watching the money and the supplies and all the things. That's kind of one of the reasons that I love these Christian organizations so involved is because they usually have people that create accountability right at the point of transaction or action, if you will. This is a great example of the point.
Yeah, number five, they say Samaritan's Purse. We mentioned.
And we'll talk more about Samaritan's Purse, too, coming up.
Yeah. I guess they delivered four trailers of medical gear to New York City and began setting up a field hospital, and we talked about that.
And we'll talk more about that coming up, too, and we'll get number six in just a second. Do you know why they're doing this, Kurt?
Why is that?
Because it's the Christian way, my friend.
Yeah, isn't
that
cool?
That's why. It's absolutely cool. We're going to talk about it on your radio in seconds. Sam and Kurt, always with the news 6 days a week. On the Sabbath, we rest.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled MEJ.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
All right, we're talking about this incredible article, ladies and gentlemen. Six Christian organizations offering relief amid the coronavirus situation. And we're highlighting the six organizations because I believe that it's nice to learn who they are and learn which organizations are involved. And, you know, the more we kind of read about them and get involved and gain trust for them, the more we can partner with them and work with them and everything else. That's the reason to highlight them. So Samaritan Ministries was number five, and we'll get into some of the things they're doing here coming up. But number six, Kurt?
Number six says World Vision.
I've heard of these guys,
Christian,
too, Kurt.
Very good. Christian humanitarian organization dedicated to working with children, families, and their communities to reach their full potential by tackling the root causes of injustice. They say they ramped up the distribution of protective equipment and supplies in Asia back in January. They placed teams in hard-hit areas to promote prevention behaviors, offering essential health advice, and engage government authorities during the crisis. So that's
now the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is a great humanitarian organization as well. And they didn't get mentioned in this story, but that's number 7 that we're quite familiar with as well. And I know that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has partnered with some of these organizations that have already been listed. Now, we talked about Samaritan's Purse a little bit, and we've mentioned that they set up a coronavirus field hospital in New York City. We have already talked about that, and that's great news they're doing that. But now they're feeling the heat, Kurt, as the blowback starts. Because they are Christians. So the headline says volunteers who are working at the Central Park Coronavirus Hospital must agree to a statement of faith, their website says. Is that right, Kurt?
Well, the reason I gave you these several stories that are all pretty much about the same thing, Sam, is just to show you the way that different people report them. You know, and for example, you've got the one that you just mentioned, this is from the PIX11 web team, and is based in Manhattan, I guess. You know, and it shows you their kind of twist on it. You've got the another headline that says, Franklin Graham is behind New York City's Central Park COVID-19 field hospital and says volunteers asked to support anti-LGBTQ beliefs. And that's by David Badash. It says the new civil rights movement, you know, and that's what they call that whole LGBTQ thing. Then you've got Franklin Graham on, this is Fox News's report on it, on New York City Field Hospital. We're going to give the best health care we can to all New Yorkers. Fox News's way to do it. And then you've got... at least to me, when you look through these stories, you'll find that, you basically have the twist that people put in them. Like one of them talks about a New York State senator, and you'll love this part, Sam, because you always point this out, but this guy's name is Brad Holyman.
But he's kind of against the Holyman, right, Kurt?
Well, that's the way I see it.
it's just weird as all get out, man.
He warned Franklin Graham to not discriminate. Basically saying that here's the statement of faith that Samaritan's Purse puts out. They say, we believe God's plan for human sexuality is to be expressed only within the context of marriage, that God created man and woman as unique biological persons made to complete each other. God instituted monogamous marriage between male and female as the foundation of the family and the basic structure of human society. For this reason, we believe that marriage is exclusively the union of one genetic male and one genetic female, end quote. So you got to understand that that just ticks those folks off, the LGBTQ crowd, and they just, you know, they pretty much go berserk. And of course, the Samaritan's Purse people, as well as all these other ones, they're there basically on their own dime. They're not, you know, getting paid or anything. They're there to help people, and yet there's these some way out New Yorkers, and I would say some, not a whole lot, but I'm sure there's a bunch of them that are feeling like...
there is a whole lot, though.
Like, well, I suppose a whole lot more than where I am, I suppose. But like one of the parts of this one story says, it's unclear how a far right-wing anti-LGBTQ Christian evangelical organization, and of course that's how they call Samaritan's Purse, right, Sam?
Oh, yeah, all the trigger words, Kurt, is what they're trying to put together.
Yeah, that's right. it says, was allowed to build a 68-bed field unit that will be managed by a top New York City hospital. And guess what the hospital's name is, Sam? Mount Sinai. Now, I mean, these guys want to really
Christian hospital, get... Kurt.
Well, there's a reason for that name.
Yeah, because in the origins of the history, that's where the support and the help used to be before it became government-controlled and mandated and manipulated. It used to come from the churches and the people and the neighborhoods and the philanthropists and the private sector. That's where it came from. That was the way the Founding Fathers intended it. And most of this, most of these efforts had religious origins, and there was no separation of church and state as we're lied to now. And so this is very... simple and clear where the name came from, Kurt. It came from the origins in our history that they try to stamp out at every turn.
Well, you're exactly right, and it's one of the main reasons I wanted to bring these different stories together up, Sam, is because, like this one says, by a top New York City hospital, and then it says Mount Sinai, and then it says, which has Jewish roots. And this article says, and whose president is openly gay, both of which violate Graham's mission. So the Jewish roots, how does that violate Graham's, you know,
Samaritan? Well, it doesn't really, Kurt, because we have a Judeo-Christian history in America. But what they want to do is pit the Jews against the Christians right now, see? So they want to highlight this and kind of say, you know, hey, the Christians would say the Jews don't have the right God. See, they want to just spin down into a religious divide over this. Their goal is to sow seeds of, in my opinion, dissent. They want to basically get the, you know, groups fighting, and then government would be the only one that, you know, has the solutions. That's where they would go with this. See, I disagree with all of this. I understand that the Christians and the Jews don't have the same theological beliefs and all that kind of stuff, Kurt, but I don't think it's a fight between religions. And if it is, we need to stop it and think a little bit more about the Christian way, which would be to say, you know what, I may not agree with you theologically, but you know what, we can still work together for the betterment of mankind. And I really think that the Founding Fathers did well at stepping back and understanding that. Go look at the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution and all that kind of stuff. They don't, you know, really dig into religion for division purposes. They just point to a higher power than government and leave it at that for the most part. We do have Christian origins in America. We do have a Judeo-Christian fundamental understanding or worldview that has been at the center of this nation. That's beyond debate. Now, some of the folks are going to, you know, who don't like Jews or whatever are going to say Jews crucified Christ. And so, you know, they're all evil and all the big organizations are controlled by Jews. And so they're the bad guy. You know, they're going to try to pin the tail on the donkey of who the bad guy is. And I know that people are going to email me and beat me up for this, but I'm saying I'm not interested in that debate. Okay, I'm not interested in attacking the Vatican or blaming everything on the Jews. Or I'm going to simply say, you know what? There's the followers of Christ and there's the followers of Satan. And those who follow Satan and those who follow Christ are at complete opposite ends of this war. And I stand with Christ. And this war is a war that was waged in heaven and is continuing on earth. And I just think we need to basically work together with the good guys wherever they're found. And they may have beliefs that I disagree with. I might have beliefs they disagree with. They might even say that I'm a heretic or I'm a whatever, infidel or whatever they want to say. I'm just saying it's pretty easy by their fruits shall ye know them to focus on who the good guys are and who the concerning bad guys are. And I bring that all up, Kurt, because I think we need to really look past a lot of these historical blame games that have been going on. And I don't believe that there's this massive meltdown between these organizations. You know, a lot of the Christian groups have not been willing to work with the Mormons. That's the nickname that's been given to them. But the real name is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, because they say the Mormons don't believe in Jesus Christ. Well, now that people are realizing that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, I mean, that's the name of the church. We believe Jesus Christ to be the head of the church. Now people are starting to kind of come around and work together as Christians and set aside a little bit of theological differences. But again, I'm not interested in arguing about this Jewish hospital origins. I'm here to say, hey, I believe in the Ten Commandments. We ought to use them. They'd really make a difference in our society. And I think on the ground here with this crisis, we all ought to just set aside our political or theological or whatever other differences we have and go to work. That's my personal opinion, Kurt, about it. What do you say?
Couldn't agree more, Sam. And it was interesting to me, that article we were just talking about is written by a guy named David Bad Ash, A-S-H. So
yeah, I'd probably change almost, my last name, personally.
Yeah, you could almost change that H to an S, and then, you know, it would be the guy from the new civil rights movement.
But I got a couple of more points to make about all these articles. We'll do it in seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The UN's top official says the coronavirus pandemic is the biggest challenge the world has faced since World War II. Secretary General Antonio Guterres saying last night the disease is attacking societies at their core while claiming lives and claiming people's livelihoods. The UN releasing a report that says as many as 25 million jobs on the planet could be lost because of the outbreak. The top medical experts on the White House Coronavirus Task Force are saying that here in the United States, the infection could kill 100,000 to as many as 250,000 people, even if people do practice strict social distancing measures. So far, there have been nearly 200,000 confirmed cases of the virus in the United States and over 4,000 deaths. Wyoming's the only state where no one's yet died of the virus, and this is USA Radio News.
Maybe you could relate to this. A lot of people think they're stuck with their health plan. It costs too much, or for whatever reason, they just don't like it. But great news, you are not stuck with it. There is a choice. It's called MediShare, and you could save so much. The typical savings for a family is $500 a month. Major difference maker. This is the affordable alternative to health insurance. And just to give you a little more info about MediShare, it's a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. It's worked beautifully for 26 years, has more than 400,000 members, and they've shared over $3 billion of each other's medical bills. So yes, they could help share your needs too. So you're not stuck. There's an excellent alternative. Whether you're single or married, you got a family, MediShare is super flexible. You can choose an option that works for you and start saving lots of money. You can join anytime. They're great to talk to. No pressure. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
President Trump says he's going to speak with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis today about two Holland America cruise ships that have been hoping to dock in his state. One of the ships has four dead on board and 200 passengers and crew who are suffering from flu-like symptoms. The president says,
we have people that are dying on the ship, or at least very sick, but they're dying on the ship. So I'm gonna do what's right, not only for us, but for humanity.
DeSantis has been against letting those ships unload passengers in the Sunshine State, worried that sick foreign nationals could take up hospital space needed by Florida residents. The ADP private payrolls jobs report for March is out, but it only covers the first 2 weeks of the month before the virus pandemic struck. The U.S. losing 27,000 private sector jobs over that period before the U.S. economy was largely shut down because of the pandemic. This is USA Radio News.
All right, we're talking about a bunch of stories related to six Christian organizations offering relief amid the coronavirus. They call it a pandemic. I disagree with that, but nevertheless, it's the most kind headline of all of them. But here's what I find interesting, Kurt. They want to make a big deal about the general practice of this Christian organization, Samaritan's Purse, to say, you know what, you got to commit to a statement of faith relating one man, one woman marriages, relating that Jesus is the Christ kind of a thing. And you know, the Samaritan's Purse runs a health sharing ministry as well, and they have the same statement of faith. And for example, one of their statements of faith relates to believing in the Trinity, Kurt. And I don't believe in the Trinity, personally. You know, the Trinity is that God the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost are basically one entity. And that's the Trinity doctrine. And it was really a debate in early Christendom, if you will, after Christ was sacrificed on the cross and was resurrected. There was a debate about the nature of God. Was God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost three separate beings? Or are they one entity, or the Trinity? And the debate raged on for quite a while. Most people believed in the early days that there was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, three separate beings. But about 400 AD, the Nicene Creed and all that kind of stuff mandated the Trinity for most Christian religions and stuff like that. And so if you don't swear an oath to that statement, that's kind of a problem working with or being involved in the health sharing ministries of Samaritan's Purse. Now, that could be a doctrinal, theological discussion for me, because I don't believe in the Trinity. I do believe God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost are three separate beings. They are one in purpose, though. Let's be very clear. There is a unifying message there, to be sure, but I don't believe in a physical Trinity. But I do believe they're three separate beings, but one in purpose. That's just my personal beliefs to which I'm entitled. But here's the point, the reason that I bring this up. We don't need to argue with these people about this, Kurt. If I'm a health worker, I can offer my services, and if they want me to swear to something that I can't agree to, I can just say I can't agree to that. And if they don't need me, they can find somebody who will. And this private organization has every right to set forth the bylaws and rules and guidelines of their private organization, just as any other organization has the right to do so. And so I'm not here to debate this as much as here to say, look, this is America. People have that freedom and those rights. The same people that criticize this, Kurt, would come back and criticize them saying, hey, you know what? You got to promote the gay and lesbian agenda or you're not on our team. Or you got to promote the murder abortion industry or Planned Parenthood or whatever, or support, quote, a woman's right to murder or you're not on our team. They would have the same, quote, rules or guidelines or, I don't know if you want to even go as far as, say, litmus test for their side of the equation, but no one in the mainstream media brings that up. But you know what? Even though I might disagree with a lot of that, I think any organization that's private, that doesn't require government money or whatever, can have the views they want to. As egregious as I may believe some of those views to be, I support the right to have them or think them or believe them if they want to, Kurt. Think of that?
Imagine that, Sam. I mean, you're supporting, like, freedom and, you know, people have choice.
That's
you're
why they hate
pro-choice,
me.
Pro-choice, I guess, aren't you? Yeah. Well, anyway, one of these other stories is from the Scripps Media folks, and they highlight this Mr. Holy Man, who, you know, once again, it's
that's his last name.
One of those weird, yeah. And yet, what he's standing up for is, well, here's what he says. He says, or they say, Holy Man also called on city leaders to monitor potential discrimination at the facility. We're talking about this, hospital or temporary
hospital.
Yeah, because
when people are dying left and right, when there's a pandemic going on and there's just leaping from person to person and everybody's dying and there's ventilator shortages and masks, what you need to do is have the discrimination police just hover over these people offering their free services, right? I mean, it's insanity, Kurt.
I know, and they say Mount Sinai, which is the name of the hospital, and, you know, if they're going to complain about
something. Is this Holy Man
going
to change the name of that dude, or what?
Well, I think that might be next. Anyway, they released a statement ensuring that religious code won't play a factor in treatment. It says, during this pandemic, we remain singularly focused on providing care for all New Yorkers. These tents will help us provide care for any and all those in need, without any exception. That's what a spokesperson said. And then State Senator Brad Holyman called on Graham to issue a similar guarantee. He said, COVID-19 doesn't discriminate, and neither should Franklin Graham, he said in a statement. Today, I'm calling on Franklin Graham to publicly assure LGBTQ New Yorkers that they will receive the same treatment as anyone else at the Central
I got a question
Park
for the murderers
Field
making
Hospital.
This claim. Are they going to not discriminate and preserve those innocent babies so they're not murdered in this pandemic as well? Stop all the abortions and all the pro-death agendas and protect life everywhere. I agree with the idea to not discriminate. Are they going to really take that all the way to the mat, or is it just kind of a rhetoric against the Christians is the point, Kurt?
As far as I can see, it's rhetoric against the Christians, right, because you can take them on any time, Sam. But he also called on city leaders, he says, to monitor potential discrimination at the facility. So what we need is more of those government little bureaucrats hunting around watching to see if anybody says God in there and maybe has a Bible around there, because we could, you know, we got to get that squared away real quick. But when I see this, thing about where he mentions that he wants fair treatment and that the New Yorkers shouldn't have any discrimination, I'm thinking, well, didn't God kind of discriminate in the what was that place called? Sodom and Gomorrah place. I mean,
you don't want to go there, Kurt.
Really?
You want to know why?
Yeah, I know.
Then he'll just say you and your God are bigots.
Yeah, that's exactly
See?
Right.
You got to believe in the real God that's a gay God. See?
Oh, boy. And then I thought this was kind of good right at the end. It says, sadly, beggars can't be choosers. New York needs every ventilator we can get, but homophobic pastor Franklin Graham and his field hospital operation in Central Park must guarantee all LGBTQ patients with COVID-19 are treated with dignity and respect. We'll be watching.
You know what? Now, I think we ought to treat everybody with dignity and respect, Kurt.
Imagine that, Sam. I mean, wouldn't it be nice if the guys like Mr. Holy Man would jump in and help out instead of sitting there going, we're going
to
watch
you. We
got
to get the cops out there to watch this. Why doesn't the Holy Man work with Franklin Graham and see if they can't, you know, just work together?
Help people out, you know, instead of causing trouble at this time, you know.
But you know what, Kurt? I know this is going to be very controversial and very uncomfortable for people to handle and say, and people are going to hate me for saying it, but I'm going to let her rip anyway because that's just who I am. What if Franklin Graham said, we're only going to set this up and help the Christians? Now, I don't agree with doing that necessarily. I'm just saying, or what if another group said, we're only going to create a hospital and just help all the gay and lesbians and bisexual and transgenders and the, you know, would that be, what would they be within their right to do so? Not saying America.
Well,
I think
it
the
sure
is yes.
seems like, yeah. It, I mean, you would have, I mean, if they put up a big sign that says, look, only LGBTQ friendly people are allowed here. I mean, you'd be like, well, it's kind of too bad, but, I mean, you guys go ahead. It's America. It's freedom.
Yeah, so I support their right to do that, Kurt, even though I disagree with doing it, meaning I disagree with that viewpoint. But, again, when can you say these things and when can't you, right? You got women's only colleges and men's only colleges, and you got blacks only colleges, and you got you should be able to have your own views on it. And I'm not really supportive of a gay, lesbian-only organization that only would treat those people. I think that we ought to provide humanitarian to all of God's children. That's just who I am. But I do support the right to do this. And I know it's very controversial, and they're going to be like, Sam, you just support this bigoted view. No, I don't. I don't agree with it. And I'm not suggesting it ought to be at all. I do believe that Franklin Graham will treat all people and will do his very best to care for all people. He will try to bring people to Christ along the way, though. But I will say this, though. I support people's right to do things that I disagree with, not because I want to endorse what they're doing, but because if you're not careful, it'll be turned against you later. And you got to understand that principle here, that, you know what, if somebody's a Jew or Jewish, I don't agree with their view. They don't believe Christ has come yet. I believe he's already come. But that doesn't mean we have to be enemies, Kurt. That doesn't mean that at all. Okay, I disagree with the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender lifestyle because I believe it's sinning before God. That's an opinion that I have that I'm entitled to. I'm entitled to my opinion. I can have that belief if I want to. And see, if we're not very careful, you're going to, on the altar of destroying somebody else's beliefs, as egregious as we may believe them to be, eventually it'll be ours. But CBS is in the news. It's not very flattering for these people, Kurt. Why do they keep getting caught doing this kind of stuff?
Well, it's a great point, Sam. You know, but surprise, surprise, the headline reads, Diversions, Health, Politics, U.S. Wire World. And it says, CBS used fake COVID video. NY hospital footage was from Italy's hardest hit city. Christine Favosi got the piece from the Western Journal, but... doggone it, CBS just got messed up on that video.
What are they going to say? They played it from the wrong hard drive again? I mean, come on, people. Let's talk about this. This is insane. I don't even understand how this can be. Okay? Liberty Roundtable Live, Sam Kurt on your radio, standing for liberty.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him him in federal court with trumped-up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999. Or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
All right, CBS News, one of the most recognized news services in the country. Uber credibility, they claim, right? CBS uses fake COVID-19 video. I guess the New York City hospital footage was from Italy's, one of their hardest hit cities. I don't even understand how you get that video and get it mixed up with the New York hospital stuff, Kurt. I don't understand it.
Well, I remember in one of your presentations where you pointed this out, where it seemed like, I can't remember the group that did the thing, but basically...
Well, Sean Hannity got caught for one person I know.
Yeah, that's right. They got the wrong video from...
Yeah, and some of those comedian guys, I can't remember who it was or whatever, one of those guys at night, the comedian guys caught him at that. They're like, hey, this isn't the right video. Look at the weather.
I think it was that Stewart guy.
Yeah, John Stewart. That's right. Good work. Anyway, and they're like, it's not even the right day. Look at this. Look at that. Wait a minute. Look at this film. Part of this, it's sunny, and then, whoa, wait a minute. It just went like super cloudy. And anyway, different time, different place, and they caught him at it, and then Sean's like, we're so sorry we made this mistake, but thanks for watching. Kind of an idea. It's like, what? Anyway, this is a similar example, but even worse in my opinion, Kurt.
Well, and I agree, Sam. The boys at the Washington Examiner kind of were looking into it after this thing happened, and they say that CBS blamed an editing mistake.
He told you, wrong hard drive there. Sorry about that. Larry named the file wrong.
They say they took immediate steps to remove it from all platforms and shows. By the way, they say the footage of the Italy-based hospital was presented as imagery from a hospital in New York, but the same clip was seen during a Sky News segment on Italian hospitals and the COVID-19 virus, March 22nd. You know, you just have, at least to me, a disingenuous or a lying news services that are trying to prove their point.
And the reason I call this one worse, Kurt, is it's bad enough to fake crowd sizes when you want to promote something. That's bad. That's dishonest. It's immoral. But we're just talking about political rallies and them trying to make their political rally look better than it really is. It's manipulation of the public, and it's not good, and it needs to be stopped, and they need to be called on the carpet for it. No doubt about it. But in this case, it's worse, though, because you're literally lying about how bad it is. You know, this reminds me of the story we did a couple of days ago where they're like, hey, the hospitals are melting down in Utah and everybody's getting sick. And then this lady's like, when I was at the hospital, nobody was even there. It's like, what? This is the kind of stuff we're talking about. But the problem with this, Kurt, is it's really creating a panic in the pandemic. Okay? When you put this Italy's hardest hit city in there, it just looks like it's just mayhem, Kurt, and it's not. And they're inciting panic and fear. It's not something where you just go, golly gomer, I got the wrong file we done played over there. It ain't like that, Kurt. This is serious. You can't incite a panic in a pandemic and act like this is just like no harm, no foul. Sorry, got the wrong deal. Larry, will you hit play on the right, VCR this time? Okay, it's not like that, Kurt, because they've been caught too many times doing this. And And when you have the outcome that they want to engineer this negativity in the media everywhere. Man, Donald's not managing this right. It's horrible. Look how awful it is in New York. And it's not even the truth. And then Donald says fake news. And then they're like, oh, Donald, you're going to ruin the country. And then it becomes all political. And now we're tampering with elections with this kind of stuff. I mean, this is serious, Kurt.
Well, I couldn't agree more, Sam. And when you look at it now, I guess a number of the big networks have decided not to even cover the daily press briefings and all that kind of thing.
And by the way, you know, even though I disagree with them not covering it, mm-hmm. you know, as long as they don't take government money, which I don't think they should be able to take in the first place, another topic. But I believe they have every right not to cover it if they don't want to.
Well, yeah, but I think they should be called out for it at least.
Without question.
Saying, look, you know.
and we're calling them out for it right now.
Cover them. Yeah, and I think they don't cover it because when you watch those things, you
well, then you
see
finally realize
president
the president's
who,
saying he's not a nut.
Yeah, that's right. And he's looking very presidential. And it's not like, an hour thing where he's the only talker. He has
he's surrounded by great
doctors.
People.
He has all these other, people, including Mike Pence, the vice president. But,
Kurt, how do you manipulate the election and destroy the country
and
make the president look horrible if you, show long form truth segments? Then I don't see how you're going to manipulate that. He might actually win if you did that, Kurt. Then what would we do? See what I mean? They're in a quandary. For sure. So while CBS is using fake COVID video, lying about how bad it really is in New York, I guess governors are blocking doctors. Kurt?
Well, yeah, Sam. And so this headline coming to us, it says it's under this term outbreak, and World Net Daily's got this kind of sections, and it says governors are blocking doctors' attempts to save lives, and it's an exclusive from Elizabeth Leavitt. She's a doctor. She asks why polls are making arbitrary medical edicts. Imagine though, governors blocking doctors from saving lives. But we see that all the time. In the one way, they're wanting to increase the abortions, right? Increase the killing of the babies. And then on the other hand, if they've got some, good solution, whether it's the Samaritan's Purse people or anybody else, they're wanting to stop that, slow it down, make it harder to get done. Because, of course, then you don't have quite as much of a fear-mongering kind of thing.
Yeah, the governor of Texas tried to stop abortions in the state, saying it's not an essential service, and he got sued by Planned Parenthood. Then you got another doctor that says, I don't want to murder this baby. No, I don't want the blood on my hands, and they literally toss him in the clink.
That's right.
It's
they say
crazy.
Governors in Nevada, Michigan, New York, and Texas are issuing emergency orders to restrict which medications doctors can use to save lives. Why in the world would governors have to do that? It seems like the doctors are supposed to handle that stuff. They say many doctors are using older medicines, FDA approved for more than 70 years, to treat people. These governors are trying to jump in the way and bother
Well, what states is this in, Kurt?
Well, they say it's World Net Daily piece says governors in Nevada, Michigan, New York, and Texas are issuing emergency
pretty liberal
orders
states
to restrict,
as far as I can see, Kurt.
Well, but, except for Texas, I'm just kind of surprised there.
Texas is super liberal, Kurt, because of the big massive cities. Now, if you take the big massive cities out of Texas, it's a very conservative place. But you put a bunch of people together and get a bunch of liberals together in these big cities, and man, it goes liberal fast, Kurt. That's what we see every time. I think the reason they want to control a lot of this is because they want to, stop some abortions too, Kurt. And I think that's what a lot of this has to do with, at least in Texas's case. I know the governor's trying to stop the abortions, and they want to promote chemical abortions, Kurt. So they're going to basically not talk about the murder agenda. What they're just going to say is, oh, man, the governor's trying to stop the doctors from administering drugs, see? So you got to be careful when you got to dig into those stories and figure out what's really going on with some of that. It may not be the same reason or situation in each state either. But, of course, that takes a bunch of digging.
It just seems like you'd leave the doctors and those good people to take care of things.
Well, it depends, Kurt. What if you're a governor and you want to stop abortions and they want to use these drugs via these tele-doctors and send abortion drugs and murder the babies, then the good governor wants to stop it. And they're like, hey, the governor's trying to interfere with the doctors administering of drugs that have been around forever to murder babies. So that's what I mean by you got to dig into every story and kind of find out what's really good. What are the real discussions?
Yeah,
you know, point. And if we're really bringing health and healing, then I agree with your point. But if we're using it to murder babies and then we're just like, oh, man, governors are interfering with doctors on drugs, you're not really getting the story.
Yeah.
Right. And so that, you know, I don't know all of it. I haven't even drilled into all these stories. I'm just telling you that I've been watching that happening. And the poor Texas governor is getting sued and beat up because he's trying to stop murder in his state. Especially when, you know, you can die of the coronavirus or die of abortion. He's trying to stop death on all fronts. Anyway, there you go. Kind of an interesting story, to say the least. All right, Chinese maker of forehead thermometer, I guess, got caught in the crossfire of, well, some ill-advised comments, Kurt? Is that how it is?
Well, that's exactly right, Sam. And, you know, so this guy, here's the full headline. It says, Chinese maker of forehead thermometers jokes about making faulty product to spread disease in U.S. Subheadline, a few degrees cooler than what the actual temperature is. Gateway Pundit has the piece. WorldNet Daily brings it to us. It says the owner of a Chinese factory in an online group chat suggested intentionally calibrating forehead thermometers shipped to the United States a few degrees cooler than what the actual temperature is. He says that way Americans who are sick will not register as having a fever and will then spread the coronavirus. I'm sure it's not all the way that all the Chinese people feel. For example, we deal with a company there in China, and the lady sent us a little note saying, hey, man, stay safe and, all that kind of stuff. So it's not that every Chinese person feels like that, but it is too bad that...
Well, here's the thing, Kurt. I would never say that to anybody. I don't care if it's the communist Chinese who I completely disagree with. Right. I don't care if it's somebody in our own country who I don't care if it's a doctor that performs abortions. Okay. I wouldn't want to dishonestly do any of that. I don't want somebody to, be sick and not know it because we're manipulating I wouldn't do that to anybody, Hillary or the latest abortion doctor or, somebody in the Chinese communist government. I wouldn't do that to somebody. And to even joke about it, especially when a lot of these products coming from China are already faulty. You got to wonder, is this by mistake or they're just in a hurry to mass produce or is this intentional? And the sad part is in our situation right now, it really brings up trust issues, Kurt.
Yes, it does.
So anyway, very weird. I don't even know how to respond to that headline because to me, these things are not a joke.
No.
All right. Security camera captures an interesting moment, Kurt.
Well, yeah, it says it captures a formerly homeless man and a girlfriend, and it says that while they win $200,000. Back in 2017, Jordan Ross was struggling to make ends meet. Hadn't been long since he was living on the streets just 5 years before, but thankfully things had mostly turned around for him. He had a place to live and was dating a nice girl. In fact, they even had plans to get married, it says. Anyway, then the native of Perth, Australia, hit the lottery and won $200,000. The reaction of Ross and his fiance was captured on camera as he told 7 News, "She just cried. He's been crying, nonstop crying. We both have." As for what they planned to do with the money, the couple knew they could finally have the wedding they'd been dreaming of. Ross also wanted to help his family, starting with buying his mom a new car. Anyway, bottom line is, it was kind of a cool story. I just thought it was kind of neat to see. Here's a homeless guy, winning some money, and then they're going to start off a family and do that kind of stuff. Now, I know it's not, the standard news story you're going to get, ladies and gentlemen, but we like to cheer you up a little bit sometimes.
And what are we saying? We hope for more of it, and we hope for copycats?
Amen.
you know, just trying to make a difference, just trying to make things better for everybody, right? All right, thanks
the
for being alongside.
The girl went out and bought a vacuum cleaner with some of the money, Sam.
Whoa, splurging. Good for her. I hope she can get married and have a wonderful family and a life, and I hope they can, you know, stay employed so they're not homeless, and I hope they can have a clean house, and I just hope the best for them, and I don't even know what their political persuasions are. God save the Republic.